Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Talk show.
Welcome to episode 65 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomic community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess, your host, with the most, or at least some of it. With me is Tanya of betapone.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
As well as Mark Savory of autumnlake.com. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Wow, he got it right this week. Awesome.
Yay.
Good job.
We're so proud.
Anyway, to start let's get on with the show. And what is the show? I forgot.
Furries.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I didn't really forget.
Not forget.
Yes, this week we are talking about furries and furry webcomics. With us in a moment, actually, not with us right now, we have Dr. Samuel Conway.
You should remember his name. This is a clue.
I got to cut this all up. We're going to have, in just a little bit, we're going to have Dr. Samuel Conway with us, a.k.a. Uncle Kaji, who's known in the furry fandom as Uncle Kaji. And we're going to be having a little interview with him. And then after that, we're going to be talking about furry webcomics in particular. And from there, news. But first, let's go ahead and give him a call and invite him into the chat.
Hello?
Hello, is this Dr. Conway?
It is. May I ask who's calling?
This is Fess of the Webcomic Beacon. I emailed you before.
Yes, sir.
Are you available to do a little interview with us?
I am. Give me a moment. Let me go get my glass of sake. I'll be right with you.
Certainly.
There we are. Much better.
Excellent. As we've chatted in email, I'm Fess, and I have with me our two co-hosts. I have Tanya and Mark with me.
Hello.
Hello, Tanya. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
I'm not too sure how much they'll be contributing since they don't really know that much about furries. though I know more than them. Let's just say that. That's about it.
Well, let's see if we can't educate them.
Certainly.
Excellent.
All right. Do you have any questions before we start?
Does anybody happen to know the elevation of Mount Fuji?
Mount Fuji. No, I don't. I was thinking of Everest.
Oh, well. Here we go.
Well, in that case, no question.
Okay. Google. All right. With us on the phone, we have Uncle Kage of, well, UncleKage.com, who is a renowned furry storyteller, as well as chairman of Anthrocon. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First off, thanks very much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And no problem. You are a doctor. What are you a doctor of, if I may ask?
Oh, chemistry, of course. What else is there?
what sort of fields of research do you work in?
Really, really big ones with nice flowers in them.
Chemistry
I joke,
is everything.
I joke. Indeed, I am a chemist by trade. I have done all sorts of kinds of chemistry. I've been in pharmaceuticals. I've been in pesticides. Right now I work with pharmaceutical drug delivery systems.
Okay. Hmm. You deliver pharmaceuticals then?
You might say that, yes. I get them from the bag into you.
Sweet.
Excellent.
As well as a man of science, you also fancy yourself as a storyteller. Would you like to elaborate on this?
It's other people who call me a storyteller. I am, for the most part, just an old drunk who always talks. And, well, it's true. People seem to like it. Years ago, I was telling some story somewhere in a lobby of a hotel and waving my arms and making grandiose gestures and trying to be dramatic, and the big crowd started to gather, and I continued my story, and when I finished it, everybody went, yay, clapped and everything, and I thought, no, okay.
Well, that's awesome.
The organizers of that convention called me and said, would you come back next year and do that as an event? And I said, do what? Get drunk and complain about my job. They said, yes. I said, okay, whatever.
Man, that has to be pretty cushy.
Well, it can be. It really is astonishing to me. It leaves me aghast. I am invited all over the world, literally. I've been asked to come to Australia and Germany and England and you name it, all over the United States. And people simply want me to come to their convention so I can get drunk and fall down. And that's really true. When I got the phone call from Australia, they said, yeah, we'd like you to come down here to our convention. I said, me? What for? They said, we want you to get drunk and fall down. I said, yeah, I can do that. Okay.
Excellent.
That's awesome. I'm sure there's some crossover between, are these just furry conventions? I'm guessing not, that are asking you to come in.
Initially, it was furry conventions, but now science fiction conventions are starting to invite me out.
Oh, cool.
And, well, we shall see where it goes from there.
Well, excellent. How long have you been a part of the furry fandom?
Oh, boy. The furry fandom. I would say about 17 years now.
Oh, wow. Would I be incorrect in assuming that you're somewhat of a quote-unquote authority on furry?
If by authority you mean somebody who's been around long enough to have seen it all, yes, then I am.
That's pretty much what I was going for. Sorry. Well, the reason why we asked you to be with us here today is because this episode of the Webcomic Beacon is going to be talking about furry webcomics. But
okay,
no good that will do us without first knowing what we mean by when we say furry. So could you tell our audience what a furry is, starting with its most basic definition?
The most basic definition, an anthropomorphized animal. That is an animal that walks and talks like a human being. In essence, a cartoon animal.
So furry means of a character or being, but not necessarily the person of the fandom? Or can mean both?
Well, that's the problem. The word furry itself is ill-defined. And there are so many different definitions that so many different people use.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, a furry is an anthropomorphic animal, but the term is also used to describe a fan of anthropomorphic animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can have a furry character, but then you can be a furry in that you're a fan of furries. Odd word, but it suits all purposes.
Very cool. That's kind of like what I was thinking, only when I used to think about it, I always tacked on humanoid onto that. Is that necessarily true?
Usually they are humanoid, although one could argue that a quadrupedal animal, one who doesn't have humanoid form but who has a humanoid thought process, mm-hmm. could also be considered a furry.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of clears a few things up. Get a kind of a standard definition going here, at least for the show. As far as, I'm not sure if this would be the same thing, but as far as yourself, what does it mean to you to be a furry?
To be a furry is simply to be a fan of anthropomorphic animals. One who thinks that, gee, characters who are animal characters, but they walk on two legs and think like we do, are really neat.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a great definition. I like that.
Yeah, that's... let's see, okay, I already asked that. I have a complete list here, which I'm going through, which I'm not used to. I'm used to having very casual interviews, so I have to skip around a little bit.
Well, you can skip around with me. I don't care. I've got my sake. I'm happy.
Good, good.
Well, on the same subject, as far as like characterization, have you heard of, this is kind of a two-part question, a two-part statement / question. Have you heard how some people will call their anthro-animal characters funny animals instead of furries, despite character designs being basically the same?
The term funny animal goes back to the 1950s. There was a four-color comic in the 1950s called Funny Animals. And that's what people referred to, because that was sort of the first furry comic, if you will.
Okay.
It was a comic all about anthropomorphic animals. I personally don't like the term funny animals because, well, furries are not necessarily funny. If you look at,
right,
for example, the creations of Stan Sakai, his Usagi Yojimbo, who is a samurai rabbit, he kills people!
Right.
Yes.
So, when you got this sort of mentality behind some people that basically, you know, it's the same character design, what we basically said are furry, anthropomorphized animals, particularly humanoid, where the creator will say, no, this isn't furry, it's funny animals, but yet, I mean, what does that really say to you? I mean, what's your opinion on when people will try to disassociate themselves, I suppose, from furry fandom?
It is an understandable reaction. I do not fault people for it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is why. When furry fandom was first getting off the ground, the public face of furry fandom was a particular convention in California. And that was what got a lot of people to realize, hey, there is such a thing as furry fandom.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the people who ran that convention felt, for one reason or another, that the best way to promote their convention was to promote it as a grand, wild sex party sort of, you know, debauchery thing. And they encouraged outlandish behavior. They purposely invited members of the various fetish communities in, much to the horror of many of the attendees. The atmosphere of the convention turned into something other furries went off and created other conventions, AnthroCon being one, and many others have grown up since then. We don't allow that sort of atmosphere there because that's not what furry fandom is all about. However, first impressions are lasting impressions, and we are stuck with that stigma.
Yeah.
Well, certainly there are furries out there, fans of furry, that, you know, obviously going to fall into that. But, you know, as is any sort of, like, you know, fandom.
Furry fandom is, and I maintain this, pretty well a cross-section of American society. Actually, cross-section of human society, because, you know, furry fandom crosses all cultural, ethnic, and national boundaries.
Right.
You have people who are in it for different reasons. You get any gathering of people, there's always going to be one person you kind of worry about. And, you know, furries have them ourselves. I liken it to going to a football stadium when there's a big football game going on.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of the fans are in the stands cheering for their favorite team because they like football.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But over here, you have the people who paint themselves blue and are going... They're extremely visible, but they certainly are not representative of all football fans.
Right.
And then you've got the people who are up in the upper decks, kind of by themselves, and nobody wants to go near them. Every group has its more colorful characters.
Yes.
What a polite way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, going off of that, I'm going to go right into a couple of other stereotypes or possibly aspects. There are some times when people say, oh, furries, those are people, they think they're animals or something like that. What do you say about that?
Those people need help.
The people who say that, or they think they are?
There may well be some people out there who think they are animals. Now, we must step back. There are the people who say they are animals, but what they are saying is, I wish I was another animal.
Mm-hmm.
They admire an animal so much for whatever traits it has, mm-hmm, that they would like to have themselves. that in their own mind, they place themselves into the role of that animal. And they will tell people, I actually am a fox. I actually am a wolf. They don't really believe it. They just are so enamored of these creatures that they want to emulate them.
Right.
There may well be a small contingent of people. I've never personally met one. But there may be a small contingent of people who do actually psychologically believe that they are a different species. And those particular people, I really think, should get professional assistance.
Yeah.
Agreed. What about fursuiters, people who dress up as anthropomorphized animals?
Well, there are a lot of people who have fursuits. Most of them do it just because it's fun. It's sort of like having Halloween any time of the year you want.
Right.
Only about, the number varies, but it's estimated about 15 to 20% of the fandom are fursuiters. If you go to a furry convention, that's about the number we find. You know, 15 to 20% will show up in fursuit. The rest just show up in their ordinary clothes.
Alrighty. Let's see, are there... Well, as far as animals go, are there any that are particularly more popular than others? As far as what people...
For some reason, foxes seem to be well ahead of the pack. I don't know why. Everybody seems to like foxes. There are a lot of foxes in furry fandom, and wolves are also extremely popular.
Okay. As part of this, some people will also role play as these animals, either as an avatar, a drawn up character, or even just through storytelling, or I guess other things as well. Would you like to talk about that?
Well, all people role play to a certain extent. it's what makes human beings imaginative creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And some people role play, and whether they role play with others or just in their own minds, they have these little Walter Mitty-esque fantasies of being on the bridge of the Enterprise, being a barbarian slinging a sword around, being a sports hero. Some furries like the idea of being that actual anthropomorphic animal. Some will role play on online role playing environments. Some play role playing games, dice and paper games with others.
Right.
And, you know, again, for various reasons. For some people, it's just an innocent escape. You know, for some, it's a hobby. It's like, this is a game. Let's have some fun here. Personally, I enjoy the role play challenge of an anthropomorphic creature, because a lot of people don't pay attention to some of the challenges that will come up. For example, I will look at a painting somebody has done of an anthropomorphic wolf wearing a tight leather jacket and holding a can of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, that tight leather jacket must really hurt his fur. Try ruffling your fur backwards, getting into that sleeve. And how are you going to drink that can of beer, Mr. Wolf? Are you going to rip it open and lap it up? Or are you going to dump it all over your muzzle and hope it doesn't get all over that leather jacket of yours?
That's awesome. We have
so the role play environment, really,
right.
Again, I apologize for adding on to that. The challenge of how you would fit into a normal human society as a furry is what I find fascinating.
Yeah.
We have a question in our chat room.
Okay.
Apparently you went to some convention in a really cheap fursuit and basically you were called the unknown fursuiter and nobody knew who you were until the end. What was that like?
The unknown furry. Oh my. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know why. I've always been a clown. I thought it would be kind of cute. Those of you who are old like me, remember the old Gong Show?
Yes.
Do you remember the unknown comic?
The Gong Show. That was awesome.
Yeah, I do remember the unknown comic. I do.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. A fixture of the Gong Show was the unknown comic, a man who wore a paper bag on his head and did his whole shtick with a paper bag on his head with little eye holes cut out. So I envisioned the unknown furry. I took a paper bag, put it on my head, cut out little eye holes, took some pasteboard and rolled it into a cone and taped it onto the front and made a muzzle out of it. Stuck some pipe cleaners through the pointed end as whiskers. Cut out little pieces of construction paper and stapled them on to make ears. And finished it off by going to the dollar bin at the local Pets R Us and getting a pull toy, a long length of rope with a knot at each end, and I just stuck it under my belt, and that was the tail. And what was it like? It was a ball. It was a blast. I could attend the convention. Nobody knew who I was. And it was kind of cool because I could just kind of be there and not really be Uncle Coggy. I could be somebody else. The funny part was my original intention was that that I could go to a convention and just sort of blend into the background and nobody would really notice. And that would be the fun for me is I'd be a stealth attendee.
Right.
But the unknown furry developed his own fan following after a while. You know, the greatest moment for me was when Herbie Bearclaw, who is one of the most accomplished fursuiters in the world, came up to the unknown furry and said, "Dude, I don't know who you are in that, but you're like the greatest fursuiter I ever met."
That's awesome.
I'd just like to ask you a question, Dr. Conway.
Sure.
In all the conventions you've been to, all the Anthrocons, have you noticed any difference in how Western fur fans, what their favorite character or animal are, versus those from the East or from Asia? Is there a difference there? Do they seem drawn to different animals than we do here in the West?
I don't really think I've noticed that. I've seen the same sort of cross-section across all countries, really.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, I've seen some people choose as their personal furry, if I may, in other countries, animals that actually don't exist in those countries.
Wow.
For example, you can get some Americans who think kangaroos are really cool.
Yeah.
And lions and such, but yeah, you know, the species of animal really doesn't seem tied to the continent.
That's very interesting, actually.
Yeah, with the different cultures, I would think that would be a little bit different, but that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
As we have been talking about comics, this is a webcomic podcast. Are there any particular comics or web comics that you would like to at least mention that you like or plug or whatever?
Well, I don't often talk about the web comics I look at because I would hate for someone to feel excluded. Oh, Uncle Cracky doesn't look at my web comics. There are many, many, many web comics out there that are really, really fantastic. Some of them that come to mind simply because, you know, they're like, when I got my list of webcomics to look at, they're the first ones that come up.
Right.
Kevin and Kel by Bill Holbrook is a classic webcomic. Bill is an outstanding artist. He is also a mainstream comic artist. He does newspaper comic strips for a living. He does On the Fast Track is one of his. And Kevin and Kel is one he pretty much just does online for fun.
Mm-hmm.
There is the extremely dark and twisted webcomic Jack,
of
which I'm very, very fond. I love Jack because you never know what kind of demented stuff is going to come out of it. You know, it's extremely creative. And interestingly enough, I think, personally, I feel it gives a much better view of heaven and hell than most religious institutions do.
Mm-hmm.
out of Australia, we have Doc Rat, which I'm very, very fond of.
Yeah, I just started reading that.
It's lots of fun because the creator of Doc Rat is actually a physician. He is an Australian doctor, And you know, of course, that the stuff that he is writing about is probably stuff he's run into.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I could go on all day. There's the suburban jungle. There's Fletcher Apartments, which is lots of fun.
All right.
Boy, the list just goes on and on.
We know that you were working on Anthrocon right now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become the chairman of Anthrocon?
I don't know. That's actually true. I was invited at the beginning of 1998 to be guest of honor at what was then Albany Anthrocon.
Mm-hmm.
So I arrived at the convention as guest of honor. And I still don't remember what happened. I don't remember who I talked to. I don't remember what went on. But somehow I went in as guest of honor and I came out as chairman. And I got home and sat down and said, "Oh boy, I'm chairman." Wait.
A little too much sake, maybe?
That could be.
So when does the planning begin for Anthrocon setting up the next year, basically?
The day after this year.
Oh, wow. That's just a lot of work. I can certainly appreciate how much work can go into to planning such an event. But I also know that you also attend many other conventions and furry conventions as well. Are you normally a guest or some sort of hand in this, in other conventions?
I'm very, very often invited to other conventions. Most of the time, I try to pay my own way.
Mm-hmm.
But I have noticed that if money is tight for me, well, I feel very, very humbled by it. But this year, for example, two separate conventions asked if I was coming, and I said, I'm shy on cash. I really can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And they have offered to pick up the travel expenses for me. I'm beyond grateful for it. So I certainly will do my best to make it worth their while to have me there.
Right.
So, yes, I do go to several. I'm probably on the order of 8 to 10 conventions a year.
Wow. And also play the role sometimes as auctioneer. Is that just for Anthrocon?
It started out just for Anthrocon, but other conventions have asked me to do auctions for them, too. And a number of charitable organizations have invited me to perform auctions for them for their own benefit outside of conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of fun. I like being an auctioneer. And it's good for charities because I am not a licensed auctioneer, which means I'm not permitted to accept any form of compensation for my services.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So if, for example, Wolf Park in Indiana, for example, will invite me out periodically to do an auction at their members weekend. I'm more than happy to do it, but by law, I must pay all my own travel expenses, and I cannot accept anything from them for it.
Right.
Now, when you're raising money for charity, that's the ideal situation.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Uncle Kage, we certainly appreciate having you on the show. We're at the end of our time for right now. Plus, I know you've got a lot of work yet to do. But
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm very, very, very honored to have been here.
Well,
the honor's all ours, I think.
Absolutely. Indeed, indeed.
We're very happy to have you on.
But once again, thanks so much again, and best of luck in your preparations for Anthrocon.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That went very well.
I think that went very well.
A bit long, but
funny.
Very good.
Good stuff, though. Good stuff.
Awesome.
Good stuff long.
Again, that was Dr. Samuel Conway, a.k.a. Uncle Kage, and you can find him at UncleKage.com, which is UncleKage.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more specifically about furry webcomics. Stay tuned.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number one and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial zero and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
All right, we're back for the actual real break that we had in a long time for this podcast. I got a few additional guests with us to talk about furry webcomics. First off, we have Rachel of Last Resort. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
You've been on the show before?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you did this week's cover.
Oh, yes. Do you have that anywhere that we can show it off?
Yes, actually, I ended up putting it up in our art section. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com and check our art section, you can see the art before it goes up as the actual cover, which should be tomorrow.
Sweet.
Also, along with us, we have Darcy of Codename Hunter. Welcome.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay. I can't remember the name of your URL at all.
Oh, sorry. It's www.rcsitravel.net.
Okay. So we have that unrelated URL, and also we got Last Resort, which we just said that has a zero in it. So let's see what this last URL is going to turn into.
Oh, dear.
I got to, you know, make fun, but... We also have Twip Dwarf, whom I met from the Fur Affinity forums.
Oh, shoot.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Welcome. Hi. Sorry, my computer is doing things it's not supposed to. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm Twip Dwarf. I don't get a chance to read a lot of webcomics, although I did like Lackadaisy. Mm-hmm. And I run... with a friend of mine around the first studio.
Hello.
Hello.
So.
Hello.
I'm a suitor. I don't know much about webcomics, but this will be interesting. I always like to learn, so.
And you're at freewebs.com/aroundthefurstudio.
Yes.
Alrighty.
We're sort of newbies starting out, but we're doing pretty well. I'm covered in sticky stuff right now since attaching the horns aren't going as well as they should, but.
I'm glad you elaborated on that.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, how's everyone doing?
Doing pretty good. We're gonna roll right along here, though. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, Uncle Kage had mentioned a few webcomics already. Of course, Kevin and Kel was one he mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of the really old ones, at least as far as being on the web goes, right? It's like, you know, like one of the long going. It's still updated, isn't it? I don't read it, though.
Yeah, it's still updating. He's one of the founding webcomic guys, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's one of the founding fathers.
Daily. See, I should know this stuff.
You should know this. Because he was right there. Yeah.
Relevant and hilarious and all of the good things that comics should be. I love Kevin and Kel.
Let's do it like this. Since I know Mark and Tanya, wait, let's start with Mark and Tanya. Are there any furry web comics that you guys read?
Oh yeah,
Mark.
Ladies first.
Okay.
Ladies first.
Oh, anyway, I'll ignore the lady comment. I really only read I read Kevin and Kel, and I read See, now I'm not going to remember any of their names, and I'm going to feel bad because I'm going to leave people
As you
out.
Should. No.
I read Darcy's comic. I don't read a lot of furry comics, and I don't know why. I think it's just because most of the comics I read tend to be kind of slice of life things, and most of the furry comics that I'm aware of, that have kind of gone across my radar are a little more fantasy oriented.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's it. That's really it. Kevin and Kel is the only one that I've really kept up with very well. And if I left people out, and I know I did, I'm sorry.
Well, let's see. There are two that I do follow, although one of them doesn't update as much as I wish it would. And they're probably... I mean, I certainly check out Kevin and Kel, because that's awesome. One, I would say, is Avoid Spikes, which I reviewed before on The Beacon. And that one's just very, very well drawn, and it has a lot of potential. I really like that one. The other one that I follow was something called By the Saints, and it's at hyperfoxstudios.com. And it's sort of a... A Civil War era, well, actually pre-Civil War era, but it's all done with foxes. That's really cool. It's, I'd say it's almost a Revolutionary War thing, era. So it's probably 1700s-ish, it looks like. And I really like that one. But that one, the update schedules varies wildly because the guy has this crazy job and it's hard to keep up with. It's all done in pencil, which is what kind of drew me to it, and it's an interesting story. Those are a few. I'm sure there are others that I do follow. Certainly I check out the ones that are on the webcomic list forums. I'll check out things that pop up there. And I think Precocious is the latest one that I've been checking out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just started seeing ads for that, too.
Yeah, so there's... There's a few, and you'll have the links on the show notes there, I guess. I'll get the links for you on the show notes. Or for Fest to put on the show notes.
The show notes, exactly.
Okay. Otherwise, our official note taker, George of Dungeon Warden, DungeonLegacy.com, might end up finding them, too. Cool. Let's see here. Rachel, what about you? What are some furry webcomics that you read?
Quite a few of them, actually. I was just about to pull up my little collection that I've got listed down so far. Dan and Mab's Furry Adventures, is basically a major inspiration as far as the art style goes for my stuff.
For a lot of people, too. Jack.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised it's not been mentioned already. Jack has already been mentioned before. I sort of follow Sabrina Online, although that's really if I happen to pop over to the site sort of thing. It's not one of my regular...
Well, it only updates once a month, but, you know, when it's updates, it usually updates like 3 or 4. But yeah, it's a once a month.
Yeah, I tend not to follow comics that don't keep at least a once a week schedule just because it's of the way I read them, but I can get into that later. It's a Firefox extension I use. Likewise, I also try to read Suicide for Hire, which is at suicideforhire.comicgenesis.com, but likewise, it's also a little lax in updating on...
Reading that. I mean, the art's good, but there is so much dialogue. Holy crap, and it's small.
I know, it's basically one of the few things that realized I was about to fall down the same trap, so...
What, the last story arc where they talk about the girl that doesn't realize she's in an abusive relationship or something?
That one is just... I want it to get to the end.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad arc, but that I just want the story to finish.
Right. It seems completely out of place, too, or at least a bit too much.
Well, I mean, it's a genre shift for them. They're actually going with somebody who has a valid reason for being in the state that they're in, besides, oh my god, my life is so tragic, but still.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, it's a shift. That's the best way I can put it, and I'm not really going to be able to judge it until it finishes, which is another reason I wanted to get there.
Right.
But past that, there's also Broken Plot Device, which is done by Elizabeth. I'm trying to remember what the URL, that is, or just brokenplotdevice.com, basically. And that's about it.
Okay. I don't know. I think I've heard of that last one. Is that a new one or is it old?
It's a relatively new one. The artist has been around for a while, and she's actually going to be the guest of honor at Furry Week in Atlanta in about a week.
Okay.
But the comic itself has only started within the past year.
So it might be eligible to be put onto our list for our web Comic Beacon 2008 Beaky Awards, where
let me see if I can
cue
Beakies.
Yeah, this is a good segue here. For those who don't know, we're going to attempt a little award thing. Basically, Mark, Tanya, and myself are going to be the judges. We're going to be looking at webcomics that started between November 2007 and December of 2008, and considering the updates through February 2009, to give basically a handful of best new webcomic awards. No subgenres other than a standalone complex, I think is the award I came up with for webcomics specifically designed as a short story, which means it began and ended during the 2008 year or about. Other than that, I don't think our other two award options are going to happen this year just because they're a little bit more difficult to look at. But this should be something that should be interesting. And next week, we should have our big list up for people to take a look at. And then we'll have a show in March where we're going to go over them and then later announce them.
Yes.
In any case, let's move on to Darcy.
Hello.
what furry webcomics do you read?
I don't read too many comics, actually, so I don't really have very many. Mm-hmm. I do read Chivalry and Knavery, and it's actually a fantasy humor comic, so it updates twice a week. And it's just kind of fun. They're on a little adventure, and there's this buxy vixen girl, and she doesn't get along with the human in the comic, and you can't get the website to pop up at the moment. But
is that an RH? Is that an RH Junior comic?
No. Oh, here I got the website to come up. By P.T. Cooper.
Okay.
No, you already beat me to it. But I do read Dan and Mab, which has already been mentioned, and Free Fall. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much about – oh, I do like Mac Rat Love, which I wish would update more often, but I understand. So.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do read your comic too fast. So
I had to – oh, thank you. I had to take Mac Rat Love out of my bookmarks and put it into my hiatus folder, which is usually the kiss of death for me because I never look at that folder again. I got to go through and sort that. I got at least 200 bookmarks in there.
Yeah, she hasn't updated in a while, but college life will probably do that to you. So, yeah.
Someone in the chat room mentioned Free Fall before, and it had come across whether or not it was actually a furry comic, given that there's technically 15, but you only see one. And it was genetically engineered, so does that count? And I guess by Uncle Kage's definition, it would technically be a furry character, obviously. As far as a furry webcomic, I know whether or not some people have had reservations of whether or not what they call a furry a webcomic.
A lot of people aren't really sure about that. We did get the chance to meet, Mark Stanley, right? Hun. Well, one moment. Mark Stanley, right? Mark Stanley a few years ago. Sorry, I'm trying to get Matt to actually listen to me.
Right.
He's hopping, woo! Yeah. So, I'm 30-second delayed on this thing. But, yeah, and he has no problem, it sounds like, with being called a furry comic. He also sees it as a sci-fi comic. So, pretty much what you want to label. It's kind of how I feel about mine. It's what you want to label it. So
that's kind of interesting. Turp Dwarf. I had talked to you on the Fur Affinity forums about this.
Mm-hmm.
About a comic saying whether or not it's a furry comic and how other people interpret.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I don't know. I kind of tend to think since that some of the fandom has a bit of a stigma. It's not fair to automatically slap it on everything out there that has anthropomorphic animal qualities, but that's just me. So I tend to think if it was made for furries, then it's furry, but if the author never really stated, it's kind of up in the air.
So basically, you say so, it is. If you say it's not, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bother arguing with it because that's just you don't want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, kind of like, it's like I sometimes or used to pay attention to VG Cats, but I still don't actually know if I would consider that a furry comic, because I don't know if the author ever went back and say, oh yeah, this was more for the furry fandom, but, stuff like that.
Well, that's like one of those comics where you got like the quote unquote funny animals. Because it's mostly a human world, essentially. I mean, I think they're the only two, at least as far as I understand, furry characters in that comic.
I read VG Cats, and it never would have come to mind thinking of furry comics. To me, in that presentation, it just seems to be character design more than anything else.
It's more like when you you open the comics in the newspaper, you see talking animals, but it never really, you know, popped up, hey, I'm furry. But yeah. Lackadaisy, on the other hand, I don't know. Lackadaisy, I mean, they're all cats set in the, I think, the Prohibition era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Which is a little bit different.
I don't think she touches that subject at all. Really, as far as what I mean, though she started at a furry convention at some point, didn't she? Which one was she at? I swear I saw it somewhere. Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah,
but you know, it comes up on the Something Awful forums too, where they're like, they like Lackadaisy and everything, and they said, well, if Lackadaisy is a furry comic, I guess it's the one and only furry comic I like. It's like, it shouldn't be that much of a problem, personally. I mean, it's like, because a lot of people, I think, treat quote-unquote furry comics as a genre all in of itself. But that's, I guess I don't really see that as a correct thought process because...
It's an art style.
That's what I think.
I kind of reject the notion of furry as a genre because, you know, they're still being categorized according to genres that, you know, we're all familiar with. You know, dramas, comedies, slice of life. It's all the same kind of thing. I'm not sure that it needs its own specific genre, and especially for people to treat it as though it's a genre that's somehow, you know, worse than other genres or better than other genres, when it really does come down to an art style. For some comics, it comes down to a writing style because they really are taking on, you know, the characteristics of the animals and how that relates to kind of a human world. But
I don't like doing that.
Well, Kevin and Kel does it. Kevin and Kel does do that. I actually, it's one of the things that I appreciate about that is that he uses the animals as a way to examine subjects that are touchy, and you know, it softens the blow, and I appreciate that he does that.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he just do a storyline with the mafia boss being a mosquito and just goes and kills him by this drive-by frog?
Yes, it was a drive-by frog. He's also explored racism and segregation, and you know, mixed marriage, sexual orientation.
Haven't we done that for a long time, though? When you look at the media and you look at movies and you look at cartoons, when they want to talk about something, when they want to get a message, especially the kids, they soften it by making it, you know, animals. So, but
or sci-fi.
Or that, too.
Or sci-fi. Yeah. But does it deserve its own genre because of that? You know, I guess I still see that as, okay, these were political cartoons. I don't think it necessarily matters that they were, you know, bunnies.
Bunnies.
Well, it's like if you have a webcomic with a cast of aliens or a cast of robots, you know.
Right.
Does that make it a robot comic? Does it make it an alien comic? Well, kind of, but not as in a genre. I mean, especially if it's about aliens that sit on the couch and play video games.
Yeah, it's still a gamer comic.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty
sorry.
Much.
So, where do we see furries the most? And what genre would you say you see furries the most?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Would you say it was the fantasy realm, like their sword and sorcery stuff? Would you say it was science fiction? Would you say it was gamer comics? Would you say it was slice of life? Where do furries seem to crop up the most?
I see a lot of drama and slice of life stuff lately, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think regardless, it would be long form. I don't see a lot of
that's the other question.
Short form, but beyond that, I think you fall into that, you know, the general range that you see. I don't think that you would find statistically that much different between non furry comics, but I do think there are more long form comics.
Rachel and Darcy, what do you girls think?
again, as I said, I consider it an art style. I don't really see this huge genre. I mean, calling it a genre sort of implies that there's a huge culture there, and I have yet to see a true furry culture. I don't understand how you could have furry-type music, furry-type rituals. I mean, I just don't see them existing.
Well, there actually, I have to disagree with that. There is sort of a culture that goes on, but it's not what I think people make it out to be. I mean, especially, like, I've gone to a couple of different cons. Like, I've been to an anime con and then go to a furry con. Mm-hmm. And they're two different things. The culture with all of the people that come in and the mannerisms and the way they act and kind of the things you see is something that I only see certain things at fur cons. And then when you go online, there is actually somewhat of a different culture on a lot of the forums. But again, I kind of agree that it might not be enough to turn around and say, well, we have our own genre. We have like our own subsection.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like you have anthropomorphic animals. You have that all the way, I think, probably to the beginning of the Sumerians. But what the furries have is simply a subsection of anthropomorphic animals. That's it. Yeah.
It's a sub-genre. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mostly see it as akin to manga in that you can have manga being all sorts of genres and styles, but you still have this general art style that defines it being manga versus it being Western versus it being, I don't know what you call stick figure type stuff where
minimalist,
it can really be whatever it is.
Yeah, minimalist.
Right. And
well, that makes sense.
And that's really, again, it's an art style classification more than it is a writing classification. And generally when I think genre, I think about writing style more than I do with art style. And you know, maybe that's a fallacy on my end, but you can tell a science fiction comic, you can tell that something is in the science fiction genre even if it doesn't take place in space. And I guess I see it more as a measure of writing than of art. And really that's the way you know that it's a furry comic. If you were blind, you wouldn't know the difference for most of them.
Technically, writing is a form of art, though.
Well, everything is technically a form of art.
Yeah.
There's a form of art to scratch in your butt, too, so.
I had to differentiate somehow. Of course. It comes down to, again, if I were blind, I wouldn't know it was a furry comic, so I can't call it a genre. That just seems odd to me.
I think the word itself, I mean, when we try to call ourselves furry, we say something furry. I think that sometimes people go maybe a little bit too far and start trying to call things that, you know, like, I don't know, you're right with webcomics. You can't really say this one's furry, this one's not. I mean, it's kind of like, what's the difference? But then maybe you turn around and look at costumes. You could turn around and say, okay, that's a mascot, but that's definitely a fur costume because there's that much of a difference. And you can sometimes take a look at actual pieces of art. For example, take Golden Wolf. She's I'm pretty certain she's a Therian. And so she started out making anthropomorphic animals as more of a spiritualistic thing. But then you can turn around and let me think. I don't know a lot of artists at the top of my head, but you can turn around and like look up a lot of the artists on FN. Basically, yeah, that's furry because there's a certain way that they treat the animal. They treat the mix of human aspects and I'd say animal aspects
that you don't see anywhere else. This is where I go, and it's like one thing that pissed me off in art class in college was interpreting other people's works, and I was like. I wanted to be like, did the artist actually say this? No, then shut up because you can't ask him. You do not know, you know.
It comes down to it. Before you say it is this, ask the artist.
Exactly, and if they're dead, well, I guess we'll never know.
Yep.
take a lot of value in the death of the author concept.
But try telling that to a lot of the Sonic fans and the Spyro fans and, you know, the fans of the different video games. It's like, no, that is furry, but they never said it was. I don't care. It's furry.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like, okay, I'm going to back up.
My understanding of it is anybody who actually cares whether it's called furry or not isn't somebody who you should be concerned about in terms of trying to attract this person to begin with. Right. Well, and that's going to get into semantics.
Yeah.
Forget.
Yeah, semantics.
Well, for me, I sort of, I mean, I don't care if people care at furry or not, but there is a point to, I guess, because I've been a fur for around 9 years, and I was online when the whole, I don't know if any of you remember this, there is this huge war on YouTube between who didn't want furries on there, and and the furries are like, well, why not? And because of that, I remember a lot of, like sites were being attacked by trolls and hackers and stuff like that, and even sites that weren't associated with furries, sites that simply had anthropomorphic animals on it, were being targeted at the same time. So to that extent, sometimes I do care, because you can sometimes reflect unwanted stigma and unwanted behavior towards other people by, you know, mislabeling what their stuff is. So it comes down to ask first.
Some people are dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the internet. Guy online. I mean, you get to that point, it's like...
Well, I was there on Gaia Online, too, when all of that came down, and I was actually part of some of the furs that decided, you know, we're kind of tired every single time, you know, the topic comes up. So we spent, like, over maybe 10 threads with over 1,000 pages basically dealing with the trolls, which was kind of fun, but Gaia actually turned around and got rid of that problem, finally. They put in a lot of things, but that's kind of pathetic. It's like, I understand you're doing it because it's funny to you, but sometimes enough is enough.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, find a new target.
Right.
I mean, but there's Twilight fans out there to target now. Go target them.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
No.
And
we're
in any case, we have to go to break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we really are running out of time. We got to just do some news. And then we'll see if there's a bit of an after show, but for right now, a break.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com.
Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Project Wonderful advertisers for this episode include Strawberry Death Cake, which is found at rainchildstudios.com/strawberry, Glimmer, found at feysquare.com, feysquare.com, and also Action Chick Flick. No wait, Action Flick Chick at actionflickchick.com.
That's kind of nice, yeah.
Little rust.
Little steam, little sweat. It's good. I'll go with that. I just constructed a new happy place.
Mm. Huzzah! Steampunk happy place.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah. Because you know actually... what? Took straight to Tank Girl, though. Tank Girl is
sweet.
A happy place.
I love Tank Girl.
Mm. You need that metal on metal sound. Kabong, kabong. Yeah. You know, in the background.
I think my happy place is when I'm high on energy drink and... I'm playing a video game and I'm really into it. Nothing else matters. It's my happy place. I haven't been there for a while, but that's a wonderful place to be.
It is.
I don't have a happy place.
Well, that's
That's
too bad, Dark Mark.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my happy place is in a webcomic spotlight, actually. And I wanted to mention this last time, but if anyone hasn't yet seen... Dead Winter, I recommend going to check this webcomic out. It is an apocalyptic type of webcomic, and you can see the improvement of how well this person draws over time. And it looks like it's done in a tablet, so it's got a nice stroke and feel to the imagery, and it has zombies in it, and it has...
Oh, zombies are always fun.
It's mostly black and white with a little bit of red for, like, key objects or characters, really. And, of course, there's a really cute girl who's badass in it as well. And so...
we know how you love cute, badass girls.
Femme fatale all the way. But the art is really good, and every once at the Strip 100 and Strip 200, it was actually an animated strip.
Ooh!
Or animated page, I should say.
Yeah.
Where, you can make an actual panel out of each little section, but it's really sweet, and I'm really digging the story. I can't really... somebody dropped here. Well, in any case, check out Dead Winter. I believe it's at deadwinter.com.
Deadwinter.cc. Oh, yeah, CC. Yeah. I've got it up right now looking at it.
Hang on. I got to call TalkShoe again. So that was the webcomic spotlight. We're going to move on to milestones right now. First off, the first milestone that I'd like to mention is somebody had told us that Apple Geeks is just turned 500 strips.
Ooh.
And yet another fantasy gamer comic hits 1,000 strips this week. Wow. So, yeah, a lot.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good.
And I'm just going to go check our what we just got submitted to us for milestones in our email. I'm not stalling. The Ord at theord.com has hit 100 comics. Well, I guess that's it. For Monster.
All right.
One thing, we're going to do a couple of a shout out here. First off, anyone who's been reading Planet Karen,
yes.
At planetkaren.co.uk, apparently her apartment burned down and she's homeless. So,
wow. Yeah, she's lost pretty much everything, and they are collecting monies for her. Yes.
Yeah, so if you can help out a little bit, and if you care, I guess, if you're not a dick, you can go over to planetkaren.co.uk, and I believe she has a donate button, and so that'd be cool.
Karen is not a fan of me personally as a human.
Actually, that's wrong. Actually, that's wrong. I asked her about that.
Really?
She says she has no idea what what I was talking about.
Okay.
So she obviously doesn't recall you, I guess.
Well, which is okay. What I was saying is that even I gave her money, and really we've never had anything good to say to each other. So it's an awful thing.
People can have a difference of opinion. It's all right.
Everything. I've had friends that have just lost everything like that, and it's really traumatizing. So help out if you can.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. There was also a mention. I got an email from Mark Meckes who wanted me to. I don't know what exactly he said. Look at his blog, and I don't know what exactly part of his blog he wants me to look at. but at zordic.livejournal.com, I guess he has something else about.
Yeah, there was a friend of his that needed help.
Yeah, this. Well, I'm segueing into it. But yeah, he mentions it something at caringbridge.org/visit/SusannaKist. Ran into some troubles as well, if I'm reading this right. But you guys can check it out at, what I already just told you. Also, I guess I'm just plugging Zordic in general, and he's going to be at MegaCon, which is coming up really soon here. So go ahead and check out MegaCon if you want. Which I guess there is no WCCA awards this year.
Really?
Apparently not. I didn't hear anything about it.
Waiting for them to show up. I mean, they would have been out by now if they were.
Yeah, and they usually announce it at MegaCon. That's why. So, that's why we're going to do our little spiel, which I mentioned. Next week we'll be posting up all the webcomics that we know of that had updated, and next year we'll probably be a little bit more organized, but it should be fun and it should be dorky because it's the Webcomic Beacon.
And that's what we are.
That is exactly what and who we are. Yay. In any case, there is not that much left we have to discuss on this week's show. And since we've already been running out of time, wait, do we have any searchlights?
You did not send us one.
No, I sent you one last time. It's that crazy Bov, just so we can get it out of the way, because I have no idea what the hell it is. What is it, crazybov.com, where it's like a collection of...
It looks like a collection of... well, it's like samples of things that are later put into print form.
Oh,
so you're seeing
okay.
samples from the print form.
Yeah.
Which some of them are really cool.
Yeah.
But they're not webcomics per se, I didn't think.
Well, you can...
No.
But there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't... I tried to click on them, and it doesn't look like I can.
You click on the covers.
That's it. Well, that's too bad. But the overall... Oh, wait. Some of them you can see. I guess some of them are down. You can take a look, I guess, at some of them. But, yeah, I really would like to see some more of these, like, online, since that's what we do, webcomics here. But the idea is overall pretty good, so this is kind of a half-assed impression because it's not really webcomics as far as I see. And if they're listening, they can go ahead and rebuttal. But it does look cool. It's like, what do you call it? An anthology. Each time they do one, it's like a little anthology. Actually, some of the earlier ones look like they are entirely online. So, yeah, I remember reading this one about Mars. Is that issue two? There's one in there. I guess once they run out of print issues, it goes online. And the first one. The first one is pretty funny. It has a frog in it and this fly, and it's kind of gross towards the end, but it's also funny. So I guess you can check out a couple of them, but I think that's how it works. As soon as they run out of the sold ones, they put it up online, at least how I'm understanding. So that's at crazybov.com, with crazy with the K and a V at the end. In any case, that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. I hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. You can check out our talk show page at webcomicbeacon.com/live to check out our after shows, which do not go in the MP3, but they go up on our talk show page for your listening pleasure.
Talk show.
Yes, yes.
Who came up with the name talk show?
They did?
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's a Maxwell Smart fan.
Yeah.
It could be.
It must be. The shoe phone.
I didn't think of it that way. I was thinking like shoe as in show, as show business, shoe business. You know, they kind of make
talk
fun of
shoe.
Anyway, stop.
A really big shoe.
You've broken Fess.
A really big shoe.
In any case, this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of Betaphone.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Oh, which is being reviewed for the Wednesday webcomic We View this Wednesday.
Will we?
Will we?
Wow, there's no bias in this at all.
No, actually, he's been signed up for over a year.
Oh, okay.
Have I?
Yeah.
And also, she had to leave earlier in the show. We had Darcy of Codename Hunter. I forget the URL because it's not codenamehuntersomething.com. But we'll get that in the show notes. Also with us, Rachel, thanks for coming.
Yes.
And again, your comics at Last Resort with a zero.com.
Yay.
And Terp Dwarf?
Oh, yes. It was nice being here.
Yes, and I forget what it's the. What do you.
Oh, it's just a suit maker, www.freewebs.com around the first studio. Or slash somewhere in there.
Okay, we'll get it in the show notes. In any case, everyone, thanks for coming in the chat room. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.